Chuck D was the leader of Public Enemy, one of the vanguard rap groups of the 80s, known for its multi-layered mixes and politically charged lyrics. Their 1988 album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, was named the second greatest album in Spin Magazine's listing of the 100 greatest albums released since the magazine's founding in 1985. One of Public Enemy's best-known songs, Fight the Power, was used in Spike Lee's movie Do the Right Thing. Chuck D now hosts a program on the liberal radio network Air America. I spoke with him in 1997. Here's Public Enemy's Power to the People.
And you thought the beat slowed down? Come on! Yes, we missed ya. Let's get together, make a nation. You can bet on it, don't sleep in it, cause the troops go deep in it.
Chuck D, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm all right.
In your new book, you point out that most rap artists were born after 1967, whereas everyone in your group was born between 1958 and 61. How do you think that makes your point of view different in your lyrics?
I just think I was able to visualize the whole decade of the 60s, and I definitely was a recipient of all the surrounding events. So when 1986 came around, and it was the 10th year, I guess, of rap music, sort of, or the 7th year of recording, the topics were in me, and I didn't have to really go into trying to discover them in depth as much as, you know, some of the younger guys. So I went into something that that was relative to myself.
Public Enemy is also known for its layered sound mixes. How did that become a part of the group?
The processes of trying to invent something that was different, trying to be as diverse as possible, and coming from a background of many different musical styles, which we believe that hip-hop is a blend and a hybrid of all kinds of musics. And, when I was growing up, I was more into sports. So when I did listen to music and I listened to radio, I listened to pretty much AM pop radio. So you heard everything from the Rolling Stones to Loving Spoonful, Chicago, The Spinners, Elton John, things like that. So that combination allowed us to come up with weird layering blends.
Tell me about creating the image of Public Enemy, how you dressed, what you did on stage, what the look was on stage.
Well, the look was on stage was like kind of represent some of the look on the streets, but what the S1Ws had done is, you know, take a combination of a Fruit of Islam and Black Panther Party look with the berets and the black suits. And actually, they had dressed that way to be, you know, they were security for our mobile gigs that we used to have out in Long Island. When we actually put this group together, myself and Hank Shockley thought that they would be a good component to the group to add a look, and that they did. Flavor and myself wore regular street gear. We started out wearing these little clocks because that was the style of high school kids at the time. And then Flavor just kept, you know, wearing his clock as the clocks got bigger. I took my clock off after the first year. But, you know, the clock signified what time it was, which meant that, you know, you had to know what was happening.
So tell me more about the image of having bodyguards on stage.
Well, they wasn't really bodyguards. Security, the first world, signified, well, had a double meaning. It was like they would call themselves security of the first world because, you know, we felt that we as black people were first world people. And security, you know, spoke up for the fact that our culture, our language, our whole background and known black background was taken away from us. And the security of the first world or a symbol to present the fact that we would never allow it to, you know, happen again. And, you know, there was also a symbol because in the beginning, you know, the S1Ws held Uzis. And the Uzi signified the whole aspect of black culture was stolen with the threat of the gun used by the Western Hemisphere and the European civilization. And when they used the gun to abduct us from a land that we pretty much, you know, were peaceful and civil at, then we used it as a symbol as the S1Ws being the security of the first world, not allowing this to happen again in symbol.
Were they real Uzis or fake Uzis?
Next question.
Uh-oh. Sorry, you can't answer that?
Why what?
Why can't you answer that?
Because I choose not to.
All right. you know, that's a kind of elaborate metaphor that you're using for the Uzis, but I think the way they've really been seen is these guys are really tough. They've got guns. They're really macho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the way you'd see it if you were in the audience as opposed to an elaborate metaphor
I think number one is that, you know, people were shocked at that time. They had never seen black organization like this in that particular type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black men in uniforms, they don't look like they're in the Army or the U.S. Navy or anything. They just look like they're in it for themselves.
One of your most famous records was used for the soundtrack of Do the Right Thing, and that's Fight the Power.
Mm-hmm.
Fight the Powers That Be. What power? Which power do you want people
powers,
to fight?
The powers in the black community is all those that control the black community from the outside going in. The powers of a lot of different things, economics, education, enforcement, you know, the powers that keep the black community remaining in the plantation state that it remains in. So with that in mind, you want to fight the powers to get that foot off your neck. And that's just your human right to get a foot off your neck.
What influence do you hope your lyrics have had on your listeners?
To be able to look at information clearly, disseminate it, and then use it for their own good.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they